This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. As of last Friday, the Animal Adoption Center at Ashby and Bower in Olivet moved from supervision by the Animal Protection Association back to St. Louis County's Department of Public Health. The management transfer, announced in late summer, has occurred much earlier than originally planned. Soon after, the county announced that it would pause the shelter's volunteer program. And in the last couple weeks, St. Louis Post-Dispatch reporter Kelsey Landis has written two stories about a, quote, secret shelter-wide euthanasia plan that could be part of the adoption center's transition back to St. Louis County hands. As Kelsey reported, these developments have raised animal advocates' concerns, and she joins us now to talk about it. Kelsey, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you for having me.
So, Kelsey, let's do some basics here. The Animal Protection Association took over management of the Animal Adoption Center in Olivet in 2023. Why did that happen? And what was accomplished in the 2 years that APA was there?
Sure. So this stems back before a lot of the leadership that's at the county now, starting in 2018, 2019. There was a big outcry from animal welfare advocates and volunteers who worked at the shelter, cleaning, walking dogs, taking care of animals. They were really concerned about the conditions that they saw at the shelter. Cleanliness, there was a lot of infection, there were issues with the animals being neglected in some cases, and they wanted to see improvements. And then in 2019, the County Council, the St. Louis County Council, which has some legislative oversight over the animal shelter in the county, asked for an audit to be done. And this audit came back with a number of recommendations. And it also found that the county had fudged euthanasia rates. It had kept animals longer than they needed to. It had failed to sanitize and clean the shelter sufficiently so that disease was spreading amongst the animals in the shelter. After that audit, the health department, the county health department, decided to bring in the APA, the Animal Protective Association, as a contractor to run the shelter and hopefully clean things up. And and for all intents and purposes, that's what they did.
Mm-hmm. Now, the APA's contract with St. Louis County was for 5 years, but it stayed only 2. What do we know about that foreshortened transfer of supervision?
What we know is that the APA said that they essentially fulfilled their mission. They cleaned things up. They put on a fresh coat of paint. They got all the animals back into a healthy state. They really felt like, you know, and of course, this is according to their CEO, who said that we've done what we needed to do here. We feel that our resources could be better used elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And their board of the APA's board of directors voted to leave.
Yeah. I'd like to invite you to this conversation. If you have an experience visiting the St. Louis County Adoption Center, or if you have a question about our discussion today, give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. So the timeline, I think it's worth noting. So the contract was for 5 years, APA stayed for 2, and Dr. Kanika Cunningham actually became the director of St. Louis County's Public Health Department 2 years ago. And because that's the department that oversees animal care and control, Dr. Cunningham is getting a lot of questions and quite a bit of ire about recent decisions at the shelter. Kelsey, to what extent can she answer questions around the shelter, you know, what was going on, especially given the timeline of her tenure and the realities really of how long it takes for a contract to come together before its actual start date?
I think you should ask her, and you'll get the chance to soon because she will be coming on, and I think that she can explain what she feels she can answer to and can't. I will say that there, you know, I'm not sure how much everybody buys the reason that the APA gave for why they're leaving the county. And it's something we're looking into. If anybody knows anything about that, they're welcome to contact me. I think that there are remaining questions that she will need to answer about, you know, why the APA left, how the county is operating things going forward. And there were plans that were developed seemingly under her leadership that suggested ideas that were very unpopular with volunteers and animal advocates.
Mm-hmm. To the point about volunteers, last week, St. Louis County opened applications for a new volunteer program, and it is a pilot program that would be open to up to 60 people. So former sheltered volunteers would need to reapply. One of those folks is Dale Shooter, and over nearly 7 years, Dale has donated more than 2,000 hours to the shelter, washing dishes, cleaning kennels, walking dogs, and she applied to be a volunteer and has already had an interview with Dr. Cunningham. Dale says she'll start orientation next week.
I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's great that there wasn't that delay. I mean, we should be back in the shelter by March 3rd. You know, it's really just a week without volunteers in the shelter.
Dale was at the shelter on Monday, and she said she saw the results of the APA's work to adopt or foster out nearly all of the animals before they left the facilities on Friday.
That population is so low that, you know, staff is able to get those dogs out for a couple walks a day. And when I was in there yesterday, you could really tell that they're being cared for well because they're calm, they are quiet, they were laying in their kennels, not stressed out or anything like that. So, again, I give kudos to the APA for pulling that off. What they did was pretty remarkable.
Now, late last year, when the county and APA officials announced they were parting ways, and shortly thereafter, when the county public health department announced that the animal shelter's volunteer program would not continue, Dale was one of those people who is concerned and upset. She says that she understands the distrust and frustration among other volunteers, many of whom were there 5 years ago when that 2019 audit you mentioned, Kelsey, of the St. Louis County Animal Care and Control Adoption Center revealed both operational failings and practices that led to needless euthanasia. But after having several conversations with Dr. Cunningham, Dale says she's cautiously optimistic about the shelter's future.
You know, I pretty much took like a 180 in terms of the before impressions of her and after sitting down and actually having conversation and her openness to take suggestions and feedback. It has just really been very impressive to me because, as I said, I was there before, and I even sat on the advisory board for the county for the for ACC, and this was not the attitude that ever existed prior. And if my opinions have been turned around, and as I said, I was pretty vocal criticizing it at the beginning when everything was first coming out. I just want everyone to be able to give them that benefit of the doubt that I've now given. Because if everyone keeps down-talking it, you know, it's not going to help the outcome of the shelter. And most importantly, the animals in that shelter.
So, Kelsey, to what extent are Dale's sentiments reflective of other volunteers' feelings? You know, Dale says she wants other volunteers and community members to give the county health department and animal control, you know, the benefit of the doubt, give them a chance. Do you see that happening?
I think it depends on who they end up hiring and what they see going forward, because from what I witnessed, the APA did leave the shelter in really good shape. And as far as I only talked to two volunteers, and those are the only two that I know of so far who have been hired by the county. And it'll depend on how the volunteer program is going forward and whether they feel happy with. Everything's easy at the beginning, right? It's easier, at least, when people are fresh. You have a new staff. You know, you have new county staff. You have new volunteers. Everyone has energy and positivity. what really matters is the accountability going forward and whether that energy and that responsibility will be maintained going forward. That's what I'll be watching for.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Post-Dispatch reporter Kelsey Landis. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we will discuss the secret mass euthanasia plan lawsuit that's been filed against the County Public Health Department and hear directly from that department's director. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation about St. Louis County's animal shelter with Kelsey Landis, St. Louis County government reporter at St. Louis Post-Dispatch. On Friday, the county resumed control of the shelter's operation, which had been run for the last 2 years by the nonprofit Animal Protective Association. That transfer has come amid many questions and concerns about other changes that include a pause on the Animal Adoption Center's past volunteer program and the start of a volunteer pilot. And earlier this month, those concerns exploded over news of a secret plan calling for shelter-wide euthanization of the center's animals. First reported by the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, the report's source was a lawsuit from St. Louis County resident Lisa Pierce, who had requested to see a copy of that plan for mass euthanasia. But the county denied such a plan existed. So Pierce got an attorney to sue for the records, and it turns out that such a plan existed, at least on paper. Kelsey, what was that proposal, and how did it come to your attention?
So something that we do at the Post-Dispatch is our court reporters every single day look at basically every court filing, every new court filing. So one of our court's reporters, Dana Reek, was looking through the court's records as she does every day and found it and sent it to me. And I wrote about it that day.
Mm-hmm.
What the lawsuit said, and it used the word secret, was that there was a plan that the St. Louis County resident had requested under an open records request that detailed a shelter-wide euthanasia, full shelter euthanasia. And it alleged that the county declined to provide it or said that no such record existed or there were no responsive records to the request. And so the lawsuit alleged that by not providing the record that existed, in fact it does exist, the county thereby denied it its existence.
Mm-hmm. And what was it that St. Louis County had to say about that shelter-wide euthanasia contingency plan?
Well, you know, I can only answer in my capacity as a reporter who's made a lot of open records requests. Sometimes if a record does exist but the agency doesn't want to provide it or decides not to provide it under certain rules that are allowed by open records laws, they can say, you know, these records are closed or redacted, and then cite the statute, the state law that allows them to withhold it.
Mm-hmm.
What the lawsuit alleges is that the county didn't do that, that the county said that there were no responsive records.
Now, even though the plan was not activated, Pierce's attorney, Mark Pedroli, told St. Louis on the Air that the fact that it was kept secret is what matters.
If the document exists, you cannot deny the existence of the document. That would be a violation of the Sunshine Law and a knowing and purposeful one. Now, whether or not they considered it or what level of seriousness it was given to it by whoever, you know, that's a question that obviously I can't answer. That's an internal question that records should be able to answer. So whatever St. Louis County does say now about whether or not this plan was rejected or that it wasn't taken seriously or that they did not carry it out, there ought to be a lot of records that substantiate that claim one way or the other.
In addition to the uncertainty surrounding that document, attorney Mark Pedroli says that there's a more basic question still unanswered.
There needs to be some type of explanation as to what went wrong. You know, why did this five-year contract not get executed to full term? Was it a problem that the APA had in working with St. Louis County or the other way around? So I think that raises an initial question of why didn't this work?
So, Kelsey, have we gotten any clues as to what the answer is to that basic question? I mean, do we know who or what initiated this early separation of the APA, the county?
Not yet. I hope to get some more. I hope that, you know, if it does, people don't really buy it, at least folks that I've talked to, people who have read articles about the APA leaving have gotten in touch with me asking what was it really about. And, you know, I kind of tell them and they don't really buy it. So I'd like to know more about it. I will say that the county did vehemently deny that they were planning to use mass euthanasia at the shelter.
Mm-hmm.
Called the county the lawsuit malicious lies, you know, mm-hmm. contained malicious lies. So I will put that out there too.
Okay. Something that I did want to point out, news of this plan, you know, elicited, understandably, you know, there was outcry from animal advocates, and then there was criticism of St. Louis County leadership. The visual that sort of was coming to mind for me was a Venn diagram. So in other words, what we're discussing is two things. One is animal advocacy, and then the other is about county government. So there are two circles that overlap here rather than a single circle, which we might not get from reading about it in a single article, even if there are multiple ones. So does that capture how you are approaching coverage of this, Kelsey, and what we will see going forward?
Sure. I mean, I love animals. I want them to be well. And I think that inevitably, when you do have a private organization or a nonprofit entity interacting with a government agency, there's going to be problems. It's going to be tough. Any two organizations working together, there's going to be friction. I think that there are, you know, the government process and how they work with animals, you know, has a very real impact. Yeah, of course, I'll be looking at both of those things.
Mm-hmm. Kelsey Landis is St. Louis Post-Dispatch's St. Louis County Government reporter. Thank you so much for joining us today, Kelsey.
Thank you.
I'd like to introduce another voice to today's conversation about the St. Louis County Animal Shelter. Joining us with perspective from the county side of this discussion is Dr. Kanika Cunningham, Director of the Public Health Department of St. Louis County. Dr. Cunningham, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So let's start with the mass euthanasia proposal. The operations manager, Lee Jackson, is the person who wrote this. But the county has said that you never considered it. So to clarify, was it that you never saw it, Dr. Cunningham, or did it come across your desk at one point and you rejected it?
Correct. So what took place was this was when the separation of with APA was announced, had quite a few team members wanting to provide input as to how this transition will look. And so essentially what took place was my understanding now that it was this employee and a few others putting some thoughts and ideas together. As I was preparing to put a transition plan together, this idea was presented to me and it was quickly dismissed, and we continued to move forward to plan with the transition.
Mm-hmm. Why did you reject it, Dr. Cunningham?
Yeah, so right at the very beginning, it was a discussion about mass euthanasia. And I will say that some of the staff that initially proposed this, that it was practices that was done by the animal shelter years ago. The 2019 audit did highlight that. I read a lot of parts of that audit, the major recommendations, and that was something that I don't stand for. That's not best practice. That's not a way to control population. And so it wasn't worth the time for me to even engage and consider that, because I knew that that was not the direction that I wanted to go. Additionally, while we had APA there, they were great partners with operating a shelter. We did, you know, have to make some decisions to euthanize animals, and APA, you know, would send those decisions up to me for me to consider that. And so over the last 2 years, we have operated under the humane euthanasia principles, and that is something that I wanted to continue. And so the fact that this was a suggestion that was presented, I think one thing that as a leader, people should be able to present ideas to me. It doesn't mean that it's a plan, it's part of a plan. It's an idea that was quickly dismissed, and we continue to move forward. At the very onset, with a lot of the research that we were doing, I came across the socially conscious sheltering. And one of the tenets of that, it involves humane euthanasia is like tenet number 4, in which it is a difficult discussion to have with both communities as well as shelters, and even when it comes to pets. But it honors and recognizes that there's a place for euthanasia when it comes to poor quality of life for the animal, or even if we bring in dangerous animals that we know that are just unsafe for the community. Mm-hmm. So there's a space for it. So while I recognize the history that was there with the health department, I think it's unfortunate that history is there and people have been triggered and traumatized, and this has brought forth PTSD. But again, that was quickly dismissed and never anything that was going to move forward in a plan.
Mm-hmm. So this document then, why was it not given in response to the initial Sunshine Records ask?
Yeah, it was a suggestion. This was not, it was a suggestion that employees made. There's different transition documents that we were using. It was a suggestion. It's not a plan. A plan is something that you execute. It was a suggestion. And nothing else came up after it was presented back in August. That was it.
Right. We do have a caller who has a question about euthanization.
Yeah.
Carol from DeSoto. Carol, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you.
Yes, sure. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm just curious. I've got a couple questions. First of all, so you said that you euthanize if it's poor quality of life and if they're a danger to the community. Is that the only requirements for euthanasia? Those are the only ones that would be euthanized? If not, what other qualifications is going to cause euthanization?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Carol. Dr. Cunningham?
Yeah. So with humane euthanasia, what it does, it honors and recognizes the it's a compassionate approach with, when the fortunate decision needs to be made to end the life of an animal that was suffering. Right now in this moment, I can't think of any other reason. I think the biggest thing people was concerned about that the health department would use it as a way to control population. And that is something that, you know, is not best practice, is not standard. Right now, with say operating with APA, and again, I can't think of any other reasons that we went forward with humane euthanasia. A lot of the requests that came up had to do with either animals that were, you know, considered to be a danger to the community or unfit or unsafe to be in the community, or if there was a quality of life type instance. Mm-hmm. So that is something that I've said that I will continue to do. But as we learn more and look at best practices, I just want to reassure the community that we are following best practices, evidence-based medicine when it comes to this. And so right now, that is a direction that we will go.
Mm-hmm. Now, we heard earlier from volunteer Dale Shooter, who said that changes at the shelter are the result of months of research that you conducted into how other shelters across the country do what they do. Can you share a specific example or two of best practices you've learned that you want to implement at the county's Animal Care and Control Center?
Yeah, I think one is this idea with the socially conscious sheltering. And so, yes, my teams, while we were waiting on information, so let me back up. I would say APA, they did share their entire operational playbook with us. And so while they were putting that together, we did our due diligence to continue to look for best practices across the nation, as well as reach out to a few health departments who, you know, do great work in this space when it comes to animal welfare. So one thing I quickly saw was that socially conscious sheltering is a concept that a lot lot of shelters, whether it's private or public shelters, have actually adopted those particular tenets. That was something that was missing with our shelter. We did not have a framework to operate under. And so that is one thing that is new that we'll start talking a lot about, because it's a way to engage the community when it comes to overall health and well-being of the animals, as well as supporting the human-animal bond. So that is one major change that we will and have implemented as well. I think one other thing I do want to point out also is with the some of our ordinances. Our ordinances in St. Louis County, they are outdated. And so I do have some people looking at best practices for their ordinances. So one thing that will be presented soon, if it wasn't already introduced, I'm presenting an ordinance to modify to waive adoption fees, to give us the opportunity or the ability to be able to host adoption events more frequently. Mm-hmm. So that is something that APA did with us. It is a best practice across the country to waive adoption fees so we can increase animals getting, you know, getting homes or getting or having these events to be able to increase opportunities for animals to be able to find loving homes.
Mm-hmm. Dale will also be part of the volunteer pilot program.
Yes.
And that is going to start with up to 60 animal shelter volunteers.
Correct.
What will be the measure or definition of success with this pilot?
Yeah. So first, let me, I do want to thank Dale and Sarah Foster. Well, Dale, I shouldn't say her last name, Dale and Sarah, for their support and also for them reaching out and advocating on behalf of the volunteers as well as the animals. I learned a lot from them. They shared a lot of insight with me as well. So I do appreciate their input and their advocacy as well. So some things that people will see, number one, of course, is increasing the care of the animals that we provide, the care for the animals that we provide at the shelter. So making sure the dogs get walked, the cats get proper socialization, making sure that the animal care activities are taken care of. Not only just direct animal care, but there are other things too as well, as far as making sure they have their toys, making sure they have, you know, the towels, the laundry. There's a lot that volunteers actually help with. And so one measure of success is I want to make sure that our animals, although they're at the shelter, I don't want to see a decline in animal care while they're waiting to either be reunited with their families, fostered or adopted. I think that's one major outcome. I think the other thing as well, one of the objectives is increasing our community engagement with our volunteers. A lot of volunteers will be able to participate in adoption events or any other events I like to host throughout the community. And then also ongoing feedback. I do feel like volunteers have a very unique perspective that I need to know about, that our team at St. Louis County Health Department need to know about. So ongoing feedback with the volunteers, what's working well, what's not working well. Maybe they see something differently that they think we can do better that we may have not considered. And so hopefully those opportunities, providing ongoing feedback and listening to them, hopefully that will be one thing that is different that did not take place in the past with our previous volunteer program.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of people, you have recently hired Taryn Leach as the county's new shelter volunteer coordinator. Mm-hmm. Does the shelter have a managing director currently? You know, who's sort of the top on-site manager right now?
Right. So right now I have my deputy director of public health, Dr. Burris. He is currently operating in that role of being the having oversight with the shelter. I also have a veterinary and medical director as well. We meet on a regular basis. I have a lot of staff that's going over there every day. I get almost daily reports about what's taking place. So I have two critical positions that we need to fill. Unfortunately, I think is what's going on just with the workforce right now. But in the meantime, to fill that gap, it'll be Dr. Barris, myself, as well as our new vet medical director. The positions should, one was already closed, but the other position should be reopened soon. Definitely looking for a division director of animal care and control right now.
Okay. Andrea called in to ask when volunteers who have applied for the pilot can expect to hear back.
Yeah, so today we are reviewing applications. It closed last night. So today we will be reviewing applications. I did not check to see how many we had as of this morning, but we had at least 120. Just from scanning, we had from inexperienced volunteers, those who were experienced, those who are current APA volunteers. And so we'll be reviewing applications, hope to make phone calls starting tomorrow because orientation is Monday. For those who were not selected, they will be placed on a wait list. So as we have people either cycle off, or maybe people realize this is something they don't want to do, we'll start then calling people off the wait list to come and participate.
This has been some big news. Dr. Cunningham, why did you accept or why did you decide to come and talk with us on this show today?
Yeah, I feel like it's important for people to not only hear my voice with this, I feel like there's a lot of conversation around me, a lot of conversation around my department. And unfortunately, the history that's there is clouding the mission and the vision that I'm trying to set for the department. So any opportunity to be able to speak and share my mission, my goals, well, our mission, our goals, and how this shelter will look different, I want to take, you know, advantage of that. I want people to know who I am. I want people to know that I care about the animals. I care about the community, because we need to rebuild trust. And one way to do that is for me to show up, for my team to show up, and for people to be able to ask me questions, and I'm happy to answer questions for people.
Thank you for coming in today. Dr. Kanika Cunningham is the director of the St. Louis County Department of Public Health.
Today's episode was produced by Emily Woodbury, Danny Wesentowski, and Elaine Cha.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.